And then for now, I just have one verse for you in Genesis 24. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is going through his travails and trials for the sake of Christ and the gospel. And he says in verse 24, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness." And he goes on from there. I draw your attention in verse 26 to the first two or three words, "in journeyings often." Look in Genesis 24 and verse 21. This is Abraham's servant going after a bride for Isaac. And he has arrived at the well, and this damsel has come along with the direction of God. It says in verse 21, "And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." And so let's have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, we come to you here, and this is a little different than normal, maybe on a Sunday morning. Father, I pray that you'll please bless it. I was certain and still am certain that you wanted it addressed. I pray that you might help us to be reminded that we must conform our thoughts to the Word of God, that it is as applicable today as ever it was. And Lord, I pray you might open somebody's eyes this morning to something. And Lord, may we just be careful about how we go about our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's not that often that I take a verse and go springboard off into la-la land. And I'll get back to Paul later. But I draw your attention to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Notice "in journeyings often." The word "journeyings." I say that about springboarding because I need to deal with a contemporary issue here today. And it's not that it's not biblical. There's much said about it in the Bible. I'll get back to Paul here later. And the Word of God is eternal. You know that. If you've come to church here, the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive, it's powerful, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the reason it has those qualities is because that's how its author is. And God wrote the Bible, and so that's how the Lord deals with things. And the Lord addresses issues and events of the hour in which the Bible was written, back to 4,000 years ago. And some folks don't think, for that reason, don't think that it can address things going on today. That's silliness. Anybody that's read Romans 1 reads our headlines today. Anybody that reads 2 Timothy chapter 3 reads our headlines today. And I just wanted to point out that the Lord also foresaw in those events he wrote about back there anywhere from 2,000 years ago to 4,000 years ago, he foresaw the events of the day today. And startlingly, he addresses things that happen here to us regularly in the 21st century. The Bible is stunningly contemporary for those of us that believe it and study it carefully, right? And so that said, that's to say the Lord foresaw all the fads and the fashions and the trends and the whims and the seasons of how things go. Trendish little topics, cultural crazes, and I don't know, fashionable drifts, I guess. He addressed them in a 4,000-year-old book. And so this morning, I draw your attention to the journeyings of men. This fellow in Genesis 24, he wanted to see if his journey had been profitable. Paul said, "I journeyed often." I don't know if you've noticed, but everything's a journey today. In particular, It's my journey. Everybody's got a journey. And I'm not denigrating some things. I'll say more in a second. But simple Google search. My journey to vegetarianism. My journey through adult onset acne. I mean, I'm serious. Everything is a journey. My journey as a life coach. I found one, my journey as a yo-yo master. Now, I wasn't sure if that was yo-yo, dude, like master, or if it was like yo-yo. I wasn't sure, but and I didn't read it for sure. But there's all kinds of stuff like that. My journey to lose 15 pounds. My journey to self-esteem. My journey to Whole Foods. My journey to sexual identity. Yeah, Bruce Jenner had a journey. And he wound up a really ugly girl. No, I don't show him any respect, and I won't. Thank you very much. There's this encyclopedic listing of people who call these things their journeys. I had one here, found this. It's about a book, and I forgot to write down the name of the book, but it's a memoir. This review was found in Harper's Bazaar. It's a candid memoir featuring a foreword by Barbara Streisand, renowned designer Donna Karan. Anybody know who Donna Karan is? Well, whoever she is, she's a renowned designer. But she shares intimate details about her lonely childhood, her 4+ decades in the fashion industry, her 2 marriages, motherhood, her ongoing quest for self-acceptance. There's a journey for you. And spiritual peace. She's on a journey. And that was the name of the book, My Journey for Something or Another. Anyway, but everybody's got a journey. And that's not even counting all the churches that now name themselves Journey Church. Or even My Journey Church. I found a couple of those like that. Now, when I say these things, I'm going to speak sarcastically some this morning and disparagingly about some things. I want you to understand, I am not disparaging the fact that saints and sinners alike go through hard times in life. I'm not making fun of that. People go through tragic circumstances and catastrophic illnesses. I'm not making fun of that. They go through difficult seasons of sorrow and loss. And I would just remind you, I've been there. I lost both my mom and dad before I was 30 years old, so I know what it is to stand at the head of a casket and greet people coming by for 4 hours. I know what it's like. I had a stroke, so I know what being sick is like. I'm not just speaking, you know, out my left shoe. But I just want to say that when you take into account, you go do a simple Google search, you go read a contemporary series of articles out of the average magazine these days, self-help or Cosmopolitan, not that I bother, I'll be honest with you, but you know, just overhearing sometimes a simple conversation, and it reveals a stunning amount of narcissism in people, where they're completely self-obsessed by nonsensical things very often, and it's just drama queenism. It's just ridiculous, and it's that I'm talking about. Everybody is preoccupied entirely with my journey. My journey. And so I'm preaching about journeys today. And it's easy to get self-centered and self-obsessed with it, in that mindset. I got news for you. Your body image is not a journey. I'm really sorry. I want you to know that self-acceptance is not a journey. And the issue of sexual identity is not a journey. Nor is going green. It's not a journey. Not biblically speaking anyway. I understand why people speak that way. It becomes popular. It becomes faddish. It becomes trendish. It finally got far enough under my skin that the Lord wanted me to preach about it. So I want to give you some things here this morning. First of all, let me just go through some high points. I can say this. The word journey shows up some, I don't know, 104, 107 times, something like that in the Bible. I want you to take note that the first time anybody journeys in the Bible, it's after the flood and mankind chooses to mass migrate in a journey eastward to the plain of Shinar. And there on the plain of Shinar, some guy got the bright idea they should build a tower up into heaven. And it just seemed like a wonderful, glorious, unifying idea to all involved. And they started making bricks and they started setting up scaffolding and all that kind of stuff. But God foresaw that that was going to be damaging. And so God came down and undermined the effort, confounded their language, and that construction project was left where it stood. And folks had to go and separate themselves behind borders and languages and cultures. And from there, God said they're better off doing that in Acts chapter 17 than building in one language, in one culture, one big tower up into heaven. In other words, man's first journeyings led him counter to God. And you should take note of that, because that's the first time journey shows up in the Bible. I want to say the second journey is actually Abraham. And Abraham in the Bible is a hero. The problem is the first time Abraham journeys somewhere, he journeys to Egypt. Genesis 12:9. Journeyed to Egypt, back to the world. And there he lied about his wife and sinned against God. And by the way, there it was as well that Lot, who was a hanger-on who wasn't supposed to go with him, wound up getting his wife. And she wound up causing him some trouble a little bit later on in Genesis, if you recall. So the first two times are not good. That's followed by a third time where Lot takes his journey to the plains of Sodom in Genesis 13:11. So first of all, man in mass journeys somewhere and God stands against him. Secondly, Abraham goes on a journey back to the world where he lies and sins against God. And then Lot, the third man to take a journey, takes his journey to Sodom and Gomorrah and sets up camp there and sets himself up for more sorrow than you and I can imagine. In Genesis chapter 20, the next journey is Abraham once again, and this time he journeys to the land of the Philistines, where once again he lies about his wife and sins against God. I can tell you about a journey that a group of people called the Gideonites took, only it was a pretend journey. They pretended that they had come from a really long way away, but they hadn't. They were just trying to deceive Joshua, and they succeeded in deceiving Joshua and the children of Israel, and they wound up being a millstone around Israel's neck. These are all people journeying. In Judges chapter 17, there was a hireling Levitical priest that decided he didn't like the ministry where he was, and so he went hunting a job and landed in Micah's house. By the time it's all over with, he's hired there for a while. By the time that goes on for just a little while, another group of people that would pay him better came along, and he went along with those Danites, robbed Micah blind, and wound up going up to Lachish and cooperating with those Danites to murder all the people in the village. Can I just say, none of these are good journeys. Also, Elijah took a journey. Took a journey fleeing from a wicked woman after the Lord had given him a victory that was almost beyond our imagination. And there he lay down under a juniper bush and failed a critical test and wound up in the end losing his prophetic office. Now, it's just funny to me that you have a world now that anywhere you look, somebody is on a journey somewhere. It is the most lighthearted bunch of silliness in the world, usually. Somebody's journey. A journey to lose 15 pounds, really? Is it really a journey? And my journey to self-fulfillment. Might be a nightmare, man. My point is, people are just preoccupied, totally narcissistically self-obsessed with that stuff. Now, let me give you the next portion of this. Genesis chapter 24. Here's something we can set our anchors in. And I'd like to give you the characteristics here for a little while, having given you some of the false journeys that men took. I'd like to give you some characteristics of a genuine biblical journey, and you can use whatever language you like. And if you say something to me sometime about you being on a journey, I'm not going to raise any havoc with you. You know, I'm not your judge and that kind of stuff. But I hope that you will at least subject what you're doing in your life to what the Bible says something should be, instead of playing Hollywood soap opera games, okay? Because that's what it comes from. This is junior high school girl stuff. This is touchy-feely, cream puff nonsense. My journey to self-esteem, really. Well, first of all, I can say this. In Genesis 24, you have a context where Abraham sends his servant into the far country to get a bride for Isaac. And this servant, again, to read it in verse 21, wonders at this young girl that's come along to water his camels whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So this is a journey. I can say this. We can begin with verse 3. Abraham sending this fellow off, giving his commission. He says, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son there again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So don't take my son back there. Verse 8. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither. Okay, I'd like to say, first of all, if you want some characteristics of a genuine biblical journey, which is what a Christian should be pursuing, amen? First of all, it is a direct commission from the Master. It is a specific task. There are boundaries, there are do's, there are don'ts. Go get a bride for Isaac. Do not take him there. Bring her here. There's a specific task. And I would like to say further that beyond it being a commission from the Master, this guy is in servitude. A biblical journey is a servant taking a journey for his Master. Now, you know who the Master is, right? Do you know who the servant is? If this journey is about you and only you, then it's not a biblical journey. If this thing is all about just self-obsessed, narcissistic, vain nonsense about a pimple that you have on the end of your nose, that's not a journey. That's self-obsession. That's vanity. He went at the behest of Abraham. In 24:7, that was ultimately from the Lord. His master Abraham sent him, but he said, the Lord my God will guide you. This is really, because of all the topology and all, this is really God's journey. That journey flowed from and originated with this servant's master. It was at his master's behest. The master said go, and the guy went. And so if the master doesn't say go, it's not a biblical journey. Where is your journey authenticated? Where's your paperwork? Where are your orders? The orders that command you to spend $300,000 getting a college education to realize yourself. Where's the paperwork for that? Where in the Bible do you find that? If it's an issue about self-identity and sexual identity, where do you find that in the Bible? Where's your papers? Why, you're not serving God. You're serving you. This is all about you. It's all about you. the realization of your dreams, life goals, global awareness, an internet presence, Facebook friends. Where's your paperwork? Where's your commission from a holy God that says, go on a quest seeking those things? You don't have them. It's about you. Your master's not involved in that. Now, if you're a Christian, then you are called to be a witness, and you're called to be a testimony. You have your orders. You have paperwork for that. I mean, you've got signed, sealed paperwork, a commission, a mandate for that. If you're a husband, a wife, you're called to love that woman, love that man for the rest of your life and be true to him and faithful to him and serve him and be a blessing to him. That's a mandate. You have your papers for that. There's a biblical journey. I mean, going on a journey together, a lifetime of 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years like some folks. Now, there's a journey for you, and it's biblical. If you have kids, ladies and gentlemen, then if you're a mother or a father, you're called to raise those kids for God. There's a journey. I mean, you take a kid and journey from being a little baby to a toddler to being a 10 or 11-year-old kid up through the grade school and junior high school and eventually the teen years. There's a journey for you, and you're going to need God for that journey. And that's a biblical journey. But some of the nonsense people go through is just that. It's just nonsense. If you're an employee, do your own business. Be honest, not slothful in business. There's a mandate for you there. Be a good employee. As a church member, as a friend, you have a commission from God. But as far as self-realization and sexual identity, nonsense. Probably demonic. Probably just so you know. Just so you know. Every other journey that the Lord, the Master, doesn't mandate to his servant, it's a bunch of lemmings running off the cliff. Yes, it is. Y'all are awful quiet this morning. It's all right. 24:4. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. It's not just a direct commission from the master. It has a defined purpose. The purpose is not ill-defined. It's not esoteric. It's not some mystic, elusive quest. This guy didn't get to go off on his own and go freelancing. When he went to get a bride for Isaac. He didn't bring back a circus troupe. He brought back a bride for Isaac. Had he not brought back a bride for Isaac, he would have failed. If he'd gotten off and started chasing this other stuff, he would have failed because his quest was for a bride for Isaac. His quest was not for finding himself. His quest was not a search for meaning. His quest had to do with, for us, being saved. Finding out what God would have you do with your life. Being a wife, being a husband, being a mother, being a father, being a friend, being a church member, being a witness, being a worker, being a steward with God's funds, and doing those things. We sometimes underrate those things. That's what a servant does. He takes his master's stuff and takes care of it and obeys his master. But it was not an ill-defined purpose. It was a well-defined purpose. I can say this too, and I already mentioned it, kind of preached on it for a minute, but I'm going to hit it again. It was selfless. This guy was submitted. This guy was subjected to the master. He didn't go for himself. He went for Abraham. He went for Isaac. He didn't get his own bride. He brought back a bride for Isaac. And by the way, along the way, he didn't find a pirate's treasure that he carried back with him and lived in luxury and richness the rest of his life. That's not what happened. He went on a quest that God defined for him that wasn't for him. It was for somebody else, and he went and served God there and successfully brought a bride back for Isaac. He didn't complain about the pay. He didn't complain about sore feet. He expected sore feet. He expected thirst and hardship. He expected certain obstacles. He didn't expect a parade when he got back, and it's a good thing he didn't, because there is no observation here that he got a parade when he got back. It was a selfless journey. That is not what the Billion Woman March was about. I just hope you know. All those silly women, vulgar, coarse, wicked women that marched and said those things from podiums that had nothing to do with a biblical journey. That was all selfish, narcissistic nonsense. You say, well, Trump's narcissistic. Yeah, he probably is. And they ain't right either. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, it was selfless. He was a servant. He went to serve. It was an honor to him that he should be entrusted with the master's goods and with this mission to go and get a bride for Isaac. That bride wound up being a type of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bridegroom, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaac. It was an honor for that servant to go do that thing. The hardships and the obstacles along the way were expected. Sleeping with rattlesnakes and going thirsty and being sun-beaten and weary were expected. Now, there's a biblical journey. I can say this as well. If you'll go down to chapter 24, verse 8, and the woman will not be if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. He made an oath, and he put his hand under Abraham's thigh, the strength of Abraham, and he said, I promise you that I'll do this as you say I do it. Look in Genesis 24:41, where he again mentions the oath. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. I wanted you to see that he considered it a sacred trust. This servant considered it a sacred trust from his master that he be given this journey. It had nothing to do with looking in a mirror. It had nothing to do with taking a before and after picture. It had nothing to do with vanity. It had to do with him being sent on a mission for his master to get a bride for Isaac. And in that he found his purpose. He didn't go off to college and spend, if you need to spend $300,000 in college to do what God wants you to do, I have no problem. You will not get a word from me. But if you go off to college and spend $200,000 seeking yourself, I think you should go in the bathroom, strip off your clothes, and look in the mirror. There you are, right there. No issue with finding self. In what he was given to do, he found his purpose. If you're saved and you have a Bible and you have a church to serve in, there may be more and there may be something beyond that, but there's your purpose. If you're married and have a wife and children or husband and children, there's your purpose. And a purpose is not found in a gym or in some hair salon or in a college class. In the fact that he was given a trust to find a bride for Isaac, something specific, there were boundaries to it. Do it this way, don't do it that way, don't do it there but not over there. Do not take my son back to that country. Bring her here. In that, he invested his energies and his thoughts, his imaginations and his strengths. It was in that he expended at least part of his youth, 6 months of it or whatever. In that, he invested all of his energies for that amount of time to accomplish that purpose. That was his journey. It had nothing to do with going on some quest that takes you 30 years like this woman in this fashion industry thing that I read, where she still has yet to find her spiritual purpose. That's not what you're called to be. That's not a journey. That's a leap off of the cliff with the rest of the lemmings. Remember the Pied Piper? I know who plays the pipe. It's the devil. In that, he invested his energies, his thoughts, and his strength. He considered it a sacred trust. Out of that, he derived his success. The servant was happy. The servant was rejoicing. Because in that, he found his purpose. It had nothing to do with his sexual identity. It had nothing to do with feeling fulfilled in some esoteric, mystic way. He found his joy in serving his master and considering what his master gave him to do a sacred trust. It was that he joyed in. It was that in which he found fulfillment. It was that in which he found self-worth. You hear me? You know that journey for self-worth? You find it in finding Jesus Christ as your Savior and finding the will of God beyond that and doing it. That's where you find self-worth. I have spent a lot of time around Bible believers the last 30 years. And I don't find any Bible believers talking about self-worth. You know why? Because they found self-worth. They found self-worth in Jesus Christ. They found their self-worth in doing the words of this book. And so when you find yourself off in la-la land seeking self-worth, and you used to have a Bible, if I'm you, I'm leaving self-worth land and going and finding a Bible. Because that's where you find it. And that's a biblical journey. It's a biblical journey. I can say this, it was also a journey that was taken on in faith. It says down in verse 12, he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speech, praying there by that well, looking for a blessing. He went in obedience to his master, but he knew that he had to walk with God by faith, depending on God's direction, depending on God's intervention. And none of it was for himself. It was all for Abraham. It was all for Isaac. And in the end, it was all for Rebecca. Now who's Rebecca? Well, Rebecca is now the body of Christ, right? She's the body of Christ. She's the church. So who should you be living for? What are you living for? You say, well, I'm supposed to be living for Christ. And you're supposed to be living for Rebecca. You understand? Now, take your Bibles and there's not much more turning to do. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts 9. Now let me just take a moment to step back and say, if you're not careful, this culture will kill you. You're going to wind up spiritual buzzard fodder if you keep chasing after stuff in Cosmopolitan. I'm telling you right now, this world, this culture, will eat you alive and spit you out. And if you're not careful, you can lose yourself with the stuff where you're just seeking this esoteric happiness that you somehow haven't seemed to quite realize, this sense of fulfillment, this sense of being filled, this sense of being satisfied, and you can chase that for the rest of your life because you don't even know what you're looking for. And that's not a journey that God called you to. It's all written down in these words in this book right here. If you want to find self-fulfillment, if you want to find the things that I'm talking about, it's found here. But those other journeys, again, it's lemmings jumping off the precipice. In Acts chapter 9, verse 3, and I knew something was wrong there because I was in Romans. Well, duh. Acts 9, 3. We move to Paul. Give me just a minute to deal with Paul. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. You know, four different times Paul talks about this journey. This journey is what led Paul to Jesus Christ. So I can tell you this, if the journey that you're on does not include finding Jesus Christ and being born again and made a new creature in Christ and getting a new commission, then you're on the wrong journey. You're on the wrong journey. A journey that does not lead to salvation is not just worldly, it's not just vain, it's satanic. It's engineered by Satan to keep you preoccupied, distracted, and lost, and going to hell. Jesus Christ took a journey. Jesus Christ came here from heaven as God manifest in the flesh. His journey was about coming to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And having come here for that reason, he then took some disciples and some apostles and commissioned them. And what he commissioned them to, and that them is you and me. He did not commission us to self-discovery. I discover myself in the Bible. I find some awful polluted stuff about myself in the Bible. And I put what I find about myself in the Bible under the blood, and I'm converted to Jesus Christ. This journey is not about self-discovery. This journey is not about a selfish, narcissistic display of your talents and of your gifts. It's about serving Jesus Christ. These disciples were sent out on a selfless journey. I know that keeps coming up, but this generation needs selfless preaching. Because all we think about is ourselves. I find it in myself. Anytime I turn on a TV or a radio, they're always advertising so that I will think about me. But it's not about me. I'm supposed to be dead. I'm supposed to be dead to me and to this flesh. I've got to eat. I've got to clothe myself. Need some sleep once in a while. But this thing that Christ commissioned us to, this journey, it's supposed to be selfless. It's supposed to be for the service and benefit of other people. Not you. Not you. All these folks that spend their time blogging and tweeting and Facebooking about their journeys. They're wasting their time. Now, I say that, and I know you can keep up with missionaries and far-off friends on Facebook. I'm not condemning that. What I'm condemning is the misuse of it. I'm condemning where you pretend it's some holy thing to do, and it's not. It's just about self, and you post your arguments with your boyfriend and your arguments with your wife, and you post pictures that nobody ought to be allowed to see. And you pretend it's some sort of holy journey. It's not a holy journey. It's not. Paul and Jesus Christ's journeys and all their journeyings were for somebody else. Paul spent his life doing something for somebody else. Not for himself. Now I can say this lastly. I point you to Israel in the wilderness. I told you that journeying in the Bible is found about 105 or 6 times. Well, 55 of those times, it's Israel in the wilderness. Israel is called the church in the wilderness. They journeyed from their bondage and from the world and from their sin and disease and slavery into a wilderness and eventually into the land of promise. It's a type of our getting saved, coming out of the world and walking this wilderness journey until Jesus Christ comes and gets us out of here, right? and 55 of 100 times. That's the journey. It's my journey. It's our journey. It's the journey. It's the only journey that matters. I really couldn't care less about your sexual identity. And you're wasting your time worrying about it because we can stand here and look at you and see what you are. Just stop it. Realize if there's somebody out in the internet land listening to me, go look in a mirror. You can figure out what you are, and from there, stop it. You're playing around with demons. It's nonsense. Complete nonsense. Find Jesus Christ. It's about salvation. Egypt is escaped miraculously by Israel. The Lord delivers them through the Red Sea, a type of the blood of Christ. And they get out of Egypt. And there they are separate from Egypt, and they walk across a barren land, and there's hardships there. They're friendless among the nations. The nations hated them, and the nations wound up scared of them. They were beset by trials. Satan was a constant presence. And they had wars, and they fought, and they battled, and some died. Some were casualties, and there were victories. But they went through temptations and disappointments and living and dying and marrying and burying. And then one day they came into the promised land, and that part of the journey was complete. All that is for a cause greater than oneself. And where you are calling your quest to lose that last 15 pounds, some sort of journey, just stop it. Just lose the weight, call it what it is, and stop it. Stop treating it like a drama queen. Quit being a teenage girl. Stop it. Quit being a man talking like a teenage girl. Stop it. Well, I'm just trying to realize myself. Shut up. If you were, you shouldn't admit it. Man up. Grow some hair on your chest and stop it. Because it's all written there. It's all about a conversion. And it's not about you. It's about you getting your soul saved. And from that point on, you're a servant of the Master. It's about serving somebody else. Now listen, is there anybody here that's not saved? This may not have been the most warm and positive presentation that you have ever been offered. I'm here to tell you, you're wasting your time with that other stuff. I'm serious. If you think that writing poetry is a journey, if you think that journaling, blogging is a journey, just stop it! Get a life, because you are doing nothing with yours right now. You need to find Jesus Christ and live for Him. I'm serious. I'm so tired of seeing wasted time and people whining and slobbering on the radio and on the internet about their specific little whiny problems. Stop it! Just stop it. That's not legitimate. Jesus Christ died to save you from your sins. He allowed you to be crucified on a cross with Him. You're supposed to be dead with Him, risen with Him, living for Him, serving Him, waiting for Him. That's what a journey is. It's not about self-realization. It's not about going to a salon and having them wax you up and rip off hair you don't want and come out all pedicured and manicured and waxed up and beautiful. Stop it. Just stop it. It's disgusting. And you'll find out at judgment that that's disgusting to God the Father. I'm serious. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we've said some things.